Hey, this is Jonathan Martin with Politico. My colleague Ben Smith and I chatting today about what else? The presidential race. And Ben, it seems like the general election has already started, even though we have a handful of primary contests left. But my goodness, this past week it's been fast and furious between Obama and McCain.
Yeah, President Bush pretty much kicked it off, I think, by appearing to criticize Obama for him, or to compare Obama to Neville Chamberlain, I think himself to Winston Churchill in Israel. Then his aides said that he was talking about Obama. Then his aides said he wasn't talking about Obama. Then Obama said he was talking about Obama. Then McCain said Obama was being hysterical.
I mean, the bottom line there being, McCain does not need President Bush in any way, shape, or form involved in the campaign, weighing in. It's just totally off message for McCain, and it's not helpful. That said, Ben,
Do you think that's true? I mean, he's driving a pretty, whatever the president says, it's going to be listened to, and he can't be out there every day, but he can drive a message pretty... I mean, he's certainly this question of Obama's weakness, essentially, which was the point he was trying to make.
I was going to say, I think the message is not incorrect, but the messenger, I think, is flawed. McCain obviously wants to press this matter of Obama not having the experience and being naive when it comes to foreign affairs, and certainly the best example of that is his willingness to meet with the Iranians without precondition. That's an issue that they want to press. My point was just that having an incumbent president whose numbers are below 30% sort of make it front and center is not the kind of way they want to press it.
Yeah, Obama's campaign certainly jumped on it. You had a good story the other day about McCain, not necessarily ditching the Republican Party quite as energetically as people had expected. What's up with that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that we've heard so much about how McCain is really moving away from Bush and the GOP, and I just don't necessarily see it, at least not yet. You know, absolutely global warming and some other issues. He sort of sounded some rhetorical volleys toward the
Katrina.
President. Hurricane Katrina certainly comes to mind. But look, McCain, and a lot of conservatives don't want to hear this, but McCain on a lot of issues is a pretty conventional conservative when it comes to the economy, when it comes to national security, when it comes certainly to judges. He's not much of a maverick. And so when he rolls out policy stances on those matters, well, it's pretty typical red meat Republican. And so I think that his focus so far has been on sort of the big ticket issues. And when it comes to those, I think he's a fairly conservative Republican, which is what he was saying, by the way, all along during the course of the GOP primary. But now that he's in the general, I think there was this expectation that he would really pivot to the middle faster, and it just hasn't happened yet.
So are these sort of global warming particularly, but the Katrina, I mean, are those stunts? Is that just gimmickry?
No, I think that's...
Is he trying to hoodwink us?
No. I think that he's not trying to bamboozle Ben or hoodwink us, but I do think that on the core issues, he is a fairly conservative politician. Now, that said, I think that climate change and some other kind of issues along those lines where he does stray from the party line, maybe we'll see more of here in the weeks and months ahead. But keep another thing in mind, Ben. He needs the president to help him raise cash. He's got a real challenge when it comes to fundraising. And despite the president's unpopularity with a wide swath of the country, he's still the fundraiser in chief. He can still get out there and attract a lot of donors to the cause. So McCain has to walk a very, very fine line here when it comes to moving away from the president.
And I guess although he's going to have public financing in the general, so at some point he can toss Bush overboard, right?
Well, yeah.
Stop leading the fundraising.
Right. He's going to get a certain amount of money from the federal government in matching funds. But for right now, he's trying to raise money for the RNC, funds that can be useful in part for his campaign this fall. But Ben, speaking of the general election, before we totally pivot to the general, there is this matter of the Democratic primary here.
Hard to believe,
right? But what is the end game for Hillary Clinton, do you think?
Well, I mean, I guess part of it is what's the advantage to for a losing candidate, what's the advantage to dropping out today rather than in 2 weeks?
Right.
She's still combative. She's still combative on the process, particularly fighting about Florida and Michigan.
Right.
She has stopped being combative on the issues. She's no longer attacking Obama on the air in person. And I think it's like a marathoner, right? It's been an incredibly long 18 months, 17 months. She's she's, you know, a couple, half a mile from the finish line. I mean, there's
right.
no, what's the point in not running through these few last states?
Right.
And, I mean, I don't buy that this is sort of a plot to go for 2012, that she's going to sort of secretly right. sabotage Obama for the next several months. But, you know, I mean, it's something that she will say, is that she campaigned in all 50 states,
sure.
that she got all these popular votes if Obama loses.
Yeah.
She didn't quit. I mean, and, you know, and there are also important constituencies to be stroked, particularly
right.
Puerto Ricans, who are a big deal in her home state of New York as well.
Right. And,
I am now with the background noise of screaming children. Sorry about that.
Speaking of Hispanic voters, Ben, perhaps the most prominent Hispanic in Hillary land, Patty Solis Doyle, of course, her former campaign manager.
Probably most prominent Hispanic in presidential politics right now.
That's a
very on the Democratic side, at least.
You're reporting today that she's actually had some conversations with some folks in Obama land about perhaps helping him in the general. Do share.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. She has had, basically, I think, informal conversations with David Axelrod, who's a longtime friend. She's, you know, she worked for, I think he said, the Chicago treasurer. She worked for Mayor Daley, in whose machine Axelrod is now an important part.
Right.
You know, 20 years ago, even before she knew the Clintons. So, there's a level, I mean, of... So in any case, they've apparently talked throughout the campaign.
Right.
But there's been discussions, and she kind of acknowledged today that she would consider taking a job for Obama in the general election, which isn't, you know, as a matter of fact, all that
right.
strange or outrageous. But, you know, right now the Clinton campaign is soldiering forward. You know, the party line is that they're... Is that she's still alive. And for Solis Doyle, who was forced out in February, but who was incredibly close to Hillary personally, and the criticism
right.
of her, in fact, was that she was too much a loyalist, not enough
That's
a manager.
Right. That's
for
right.
her, of all people, to do this is a real, you know, betrayal, and I think a lot of them see it that way. At least that's how they see it. I don't know if it really is one. And I think Howard Wolfson, you know, told me today that he was offended by the idea that anybody would be discussing this stuff.
It's fascinating, and it just reminds me, Ben, to digress here quickly, that it's remarkable that the Daley family manages to always play a role in national politics. It seems like going back now for decades and decades, the father and son, mayor of a city, always playing a central role in Democratic politics.
Well, I think one unexplored thing that kind of interests me is, I mean, Obama didn't really come up in the Daley machine. I think he was sort of initially an insurgent,
right.
but in the way of a lot of, you know, successful machines,
he married
what they
in.
Do is they jump on, you know, is they back the, if you've got a kind of golden boy locally, you certainly support him, and that's, you know, most urban machines do that, and Obama was the star, and so Daley at some point threw his weight behind him. And, I mean, I think Obama's own consolidation of control of the Democratic Party right now, I think maybe owes a little bit to what he saw in Chicago. He's really kind of successfully crushing any competing power centers inside the Democratic Party right now. He shut down this 527 Progressive Media USA that was
right.
going to be the kind of independent voice on his side,
right.
but outside his control. And obviously the vaunted Clinton machine is probably not going to remain a real powerful competing power center if he has anything to say about it.
Yeah, I think one of the fascinating things, Ben, during the course of this primary has been how he slowly has really taken over the party. And you and I have had this conversation, but seemingly after every sort of loss or sort of down point he's had during this primary, he's bounced back with more endorsements, more support from Democratic politicians, the most notable being Wednesday. He gets his rear end handed to him by 41 points. What happens the next day? He gets endorsed by John Edwards, as high-profile as they come these days, in the party, and also by NARAL Pro-Choice America, one of the top pro-choice groups in the country, endorses him over a stalwart on their issue, Hillary Clinton. It's remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, this is now, you know, consolidation of the party, people
right.
wanting to be on the bandwagon. You know, people see it as a race that's been over, and people who are
right.
cautious about jumping on the bandwagon because they didn't want to be on the losing side
can now
safely do that. But what you say was true before also. I mean, Bill Richardson, Maria Shriver, giving him these key, and Teddy Kennedy giving him these key endorsements.
John Kerry, remember John Kerry?
Yeah. Yes, and that is because there has always been a very large and powerful anti-Clinton wing. of the Democratic Party. And although Obama portrayed Clinton as the Washington establishment actually has never been really that comfortable with the Clintons, or never fully embraced them. The party liberals, you know, think that Clinton betrayed them repeatedly in the 90s.
Right.
And just after 8 years of any incumbent president, there are a lot of scores to settle, and they're being, you know, and so, I mean, there was the people who were going to be with Clinton were with her last year when she was a juggernaut, and everybody who's left has been looking for an excuse to support Obama, and most of them have found it.
And let's be honest, this being Washington, people see an opportunity to get in early on the ground floor of a very promising politician who, even if he loses this time around, ain't going anywhere. And the prospect of, say, Tom Daschle, just to toss a name out there, not to impugn Senator Daschle's good name, but somebody like that sees an opportunity to really get in good with this guy, that could lead to a prominent role for them, Ben, in the Obama administration, either this time around or perhaps down the road.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, for lots of people, from staff to fundraisers to supporters. I mean, it's the people who got in, you know, last, you know, in the winter of 2006, 2007 are, I think, the ones who really, I kind of suspect that the we'll be seeing the Iowa Attorney General in some federal role at some
point. Miller.
Tom Miller, you're amazing.
He's a great American.
This is the guy, Jonathan Martin, who can name like the minority leader of both houses in every state in the country. I forget the guy who, you know, I talked to on the phone 3 weeks ago. But yes, there are people like that, you know, people, and particularly Iowans, but people who've gotten on the ground floor. And Tom Daschle is a great example, who was advising Obama long before
joined
the thing
forces,
to do.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what does happen, Ben? Let's just game this out because, you know, we are still watching these final contests. Tuesday we've got Kentucky and Oregon. They split those races probably. Then what happens, do we think, in Puerto Rico, South Dakota, and Montana?
Well, let's see. I mean, first of all, the Obama campaign did a rare misstep, actually, in terms of, you know, kind of spin and tone here, in which they kind of signaled they were going to really declare victory on the 20th. And then when it seemed, they felt like that was going to be seen by Clinton's supporters, who represent half the party, as being too tough on her, as forcing her out. They kind of walked it back. So there's going to be some kind of celebration in Iowa tomorrow night, but it's not going to be forcing Clinton out.
Right.
We go to Puerto Rico, which is perceived to be a Clinton state for a couple. One, because, you know, the big Puerto Rican political base in the United States is in New York. Jose Rivera, the boss of the Bronx,
SEIU,
campaigning. He was campaigning around New Hampshire for her. She has just real kind of institutional support there. But Obama's played this very savvily. He's had, you know, he was getting endorsements there months and months before anybody thought Puerto Rico could matter. And on the kind of ethnic dynamic, which is real there, you know, Hillary has portrayed herself as the favorite of Hispanics. That's been true in some but not all states. Also, there are a lot of Afro-Hispanic Puerto Ricans. I mean, it's a complicated place. So I think it'll be kind of an interesting, you know, laboratory, even though, because although Puerto Ricans, let's say, I think do not vote in November, it's an interesting, you know, I mean, it's just going to be kind of interesting to see. South Dakota and Montana are places where Obama is sort of in some vague way expected to win. South Dakota, because they're the kind of Northwestern, you know, northern, and in fact, kind of all white states are the ones where he does best with white voters for reasons David Sirota has written about a lot. But in any case, you know, and also you've got Tom Daschle in South Dakota. On the other hand, they're primaries, not caucuses, and caucuses are where he really cleaned up. So I don't think we're expecting the kind of blowouts that you saw, you know, in Idaho, for instance. And then it's on to the general election, right?
Right.
I guess what I'm interested in is you know, what they think in the McCain campaign about Obama. You know, does he have a glass jaw? Is his glass jaw matters of policy, or is it these sort of vaguer perceptions that he's, you know, not, that Americans are going to reject him for kind of vague viral reasons?
No, I think it's a couple of things. First of all, there is a degree of resentment about the perceived kid glove treatment that he's got from the press. They don't think he's
been
scrutinized.
Can John McCain, of all people?
Exactly. John McCain wouldn't know anything about good press. But they do think that he's had it easy thus far, and they think that he's really vulnerable, especially been on national security issues. They think that his inexperience at a time of peril in the world and for the country is really going to haunt him, this fall. Now, the McCain folks will never say this, but any intellectually honest person on the right acknowledges that the other thing hurting Obama is the fact that there are a lot of Americans who won't vote for him, if not for race, then because of sort of race-esque issues, be it his pastor, be it his name and his background. There's just a lot of folks who won't be able to get over that. But the McCain folks see the more above-board target, his experience, his you know, not having actually walked the walk is their thing. They are really ticked over the fact that Obama has been casting himself as this person who's brought parties together, who's working to bridge the divide, who's trying to run in a sort of new kind of politics. And their point is, like, look, McCain has lived it. Obama is sort of preaching it now, but McCain's the one who has the scars to prove his work across party divides. And the fact is that he is loathed by a lot of folks on the right for precisely the reason that I just mentioned, because he has worked with Democrats on issues like immigration, campaign finance, the Gang of 14, what have you. And so I think a couple of things, that they'll press the experience issue on national security, and they'll also press the whole matter of talking the talk versus walking the walk when it comes to actually affecting change.
All right, and do you think their total disavowal of these sort of the kind of more scurrilous stuff, the stuff the Tennessee Republican Party is very gleefully doing all the time, attacks on his wife, attacks, you know, making fun of his name. Does that work? Do you think it's working?
I think they've basically set up a real distance. There are people who are looking for an excuse to not vote for this guy, and they now have a few of them. They have his wife. They have Reverend Wright. They have his comments about
McCain's really firm attempts to have nothing to do with them firing the staffer who put something on his Twitter feed about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think that works? Do you think that's sunk in?
Look, I think that they want to keep arm's length away from that. It's fascinating, though, Ben. They view Ayers, you know, William Ayers, of course, the underground terrorist, they view him as fair game, but I think Wright is not fair game. And the reason for that, I think, is because there's no racial tinge at all to Ayers. This is pure ideology. This is pure politics. Mm-hmm. He was a sort of unrepentant terrorist, 60s-era lefty. There's nothing racial there at all. Therefore, they can use that. I think they shy away from the right factor because you can't avoid the race factor.
Right, yeah, Ayers is clearly their favorite topic.
They sent
out an email last night with like 15 links to a story I did about him.
It seemed very, very familiar. Ben, can we just wrap up here? I just want to pose one last question to you that's, I think, timely, and that is, you know, Obama pretty much didn't compete in West Virginia because he didn't want to try and play and then lose in a bad way because it would make that loss look all the worse. And he's taking a similar attack, I think, in Kentucky. Is that, you think, smart, or should he have at least given it a try there to make the case that he will compete for those votes?
I mean, you know, I don't know. Could he have done better if he really competed there in a week? I don't know. I mean, I think he probably at some level could have done better had he really spent a lot of time there.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, there was a risk that it would be seen as a bigger deal, and instead they chose a very kind of conventional move, basically, to sort of broaden the field, to go to Michigan, to have a big event with John Edwards, you know, just to sort of to change the subject and really ultimately to engage John McCain rather than Hillary Clinton. A move that they tried actually a couple of months ago and then quickly retreated from because Hillary was really landing some punches and they were worried that there were this storyline would develop. You know, Obama took his eye off the ball and the election got away from him. Now that they're confident that's not going to happen, that he's going to win the primary, they've actually successfully pivoted to McCain. McCain has embraced that. You know, I mean, it's really, we're kind of on to the general election.
And how many places in America, Ben, besides Portland, Oregon, which has been dubbed, by the way, the whitest big city in America by the locals, could he have gotten 70,000 people?
You know, I think a lot, but I'm not sure size matters in the end, right? Like, I think we'll see a lot of that. And John Kerry's biggest... Somebody said it looked like a fish. Somebody who was there told me it felt like a fish concert, for whatever that's worth. But, you know, John Kerry got 75,000 like 3 days before the election in Madison, Wisconsin. You know, I bet Obama
Madison,
could get pretty...
Right. It was Madison,
And now we're, you know, this is months before. This is Portland, Oregon. I mean, you know, we've got New York City, Boston. There's a lot of places where he's going to get incredible crowds.
Right.
You know, which, by the way, the thing that they're doing very effectively this year is getting all those people's names, getting all those people's email addresses, converting them to volunteers and field operatives in the general election.
It's incredible. I know. And if it was like a fish concert, there were probably no lack of veggie burritos either.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben, thanks a lot for taking the time.
Yes,
fun,
very fun.
As always.
Thanks. Indeed.
Take care.
See ya.
See ya.